We started way back in August when the AU Peace and Security Council decided to send a civil military mission to the Ebola-affected countries. We immediately put in motion the setup of the AU response to Ebola outbreak in West Africa, and that is, you know, with the abbreviation of ASEOA, since it took us precisely about 3.5 weeks from time of conceptualization of the idea and when we got, you know, gloves on ground. I'm not going to use the word booth. It took us less than 4 weeks because by September 15, General Dr. Julius Okeita, the head of the ASEOA mission, arrived to set up his headquarters in Monrovia. And 2 days later, the first set of medical volunteers arrived in Monrovia. Since then, we have scaled up from the modest beginning of deployment of about 100 health workers. We've been able to do this and also to improve on the training, and thanks to one of our good supporters, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta, that has partnered with us in the training of our field and medical epidemiologists in contact tracing. They've been one of our biggest collaborators, and we're very appreciative of the collaboration we have with them.
When you look at the deployment of health personnel within Ebola-affected countries, who have been your biggest contributors?
In terms of the deployment, we have now the highest contributor has been Nigeria, followed by Ethiopia, Kenya, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and just recently we've completed the deployment of a modest number from South Africa that have joined. We're still hopeful to deploy more as we are getting to the point of rotation. But the good news is that when we went into Liberia in September, Ebola was chasing us. Now, I'm happy to know that we are chasing Ebola, though it's not yet over, but we have made tremendous progress since then.
Looking at Southern African countries, specifically Zimbabwe, what measures has the African Union put in place in terms of preparedness for an Ebola outbreak should it occur?
Well, we are working with all the member states to, you know, in terms of their preparedness, not just only countries in Southern Africa, but the most critical are nearby and neighboring countries, since the experience have shown that we are all just a flight away from Ebola. As witness in Dallas, as witness in Lagos, as witness in Madrid and in London, that wherever we are, we're just a flight away. So we've partnered with WHO, with the member states themselves, to increase their preparedness. But the focus has been more on Cote d'Ivoire, on Mali, Senegal. Well, of course, Senegal experienced it a little. And, of course, Ghana, that it's used as a bridge for the UN home here. Again, Nigeria has always been on the alert since they have also had an experience. But virtually, all the countries are taking precautions, so it's not just only Southern Africa. And we intend to continue to do this even in the post-Ebola through the setup of the African CDC, that we are working together with our partners at the U.S. CDC to commence in July, which have a modest event-based surveillance system, and also with the ability to give capacity building to our member states to be able to effectively implement the International Health Regulations 2005. And of course, we are also looking ahead to keep a kind of a roster, since we've tried something new, and we have also surprised ourselves in our ability to respond to public threat, in this case, Ebola. So we look forward to keeping a core of these volunteers because at the beginning, as I mentioned, close to about 100 young women and men of this continent on their own answered our call to volunteer to go to help their brothers and sisters in those 3 affected countries. So we'll be looking forward to keeping and developing a core of volunteers that we can call upon in case of future, already trained as part of the Centers for Disease Control that we are also trying to set up. So these are some of the things we are looking forward to doing, and we've actually commenced them even as the Ebola is coming to an end.